Welcome to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, January 8th, 2017. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. The sermon today is the first in our series of Who Are You? The title is Connect with Your Belovedness. The gospel reading for today is Matthew chapter 3, verses 15 through 17.
And a bit of truth for our souls. God, send your Holy Spirit to help give us the message we are supposed to hear from you this day. God, I pray that some of that may come through my words, through your scripture, through silence, through ritual, that all of that would come, though mostly and entirely by the dependence on your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a new year. It's a new worship series. If you've seen on your bulletin, the series is Who Are You? It's a new liturgical season, a season called Epiphany, a season of light and enlightenment, the Oh, I Get It Now season. It's a new season in the church year, and we begin a new gospel. So the lectionary, which I follow in my preaching and which we've done on a lot of these series, is a three-year cycle. It's used not just by Presbyterians, but it's used by many other communities as well, that kind of helps track a set of readings throughout the year. And this year, the lectionary is starting with a focus on Matthew. So before I read the scripture, I wanted to bring you up to speed. Our reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 3, but I want to let you know what happened in chapters 1 and 2, so you know where this fits in context. So chapter 1 is the chapter of begats. It's all those names that you think, if I'm the liturgist, I really hope that's not the passage that I'm going to be reading. It's about who's the son of whom, the son of whom, the son of whom. And then at the very tail end of chapter 1, there's a very short account that Jesus is born, told from Joseph's point of view. On to chapter 2, the wise men come from the east, and Herod is feeling threatened by the birth of this new king. And as a result, the wise men go home by another way. And then Joseph and Mary and Jesus flee to another country. And then eventually, as Jesus is grown, they come back. In chapter 3, we meet John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness. He's out there with his eating bugs and wild honey, and he's way out on the fringe. He's not in the middle of the city. And he's telling people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And then he's baptizing people who come with him, come to him. And he's saying, confess your sins. And then he baptizes them in water and in the river in a ritual of repentance. So that's the context. And here's the scripture for today. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. So why is John refusing to baptize Jesus? Jesus comes, he asks, and John's first response is to say, uh-uh. John does say he doesn't feel worthy. I'm really not up to this. Some theologians posit that John didn't see Jesus as someone who was sinful and therefore needing to be cleansed of his sins, needing that sense of a baptism of repentance. And yet, Jesus insists and says, let it be so now that we can fulfill righteousness. And so John, being a good, obedient cousin, does it. And then as Jesus was baptized, the heavens were opened. And a voice comes and says, this is my son, with the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Now, continuing with this sense of context, everybody know what's the very next thing that happens in chapter 4, right after this? Temptation. So right after he gets baptized, he ends up in the desert for 40 days. Yeah, good job, right? He ends up in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. And then the devil comes and tempts him, saying, here's some bread. The devil comes and tempts him and says, you want to be safe? You want security and protection? I got that taken care of. And the devil comes to him and says, you want power and authority over the world? I'll give that to you. I think this greater sense of Jesus' baptism in this larger context helps us see that Jesus' baptism comes at a particular moment in the gospel story for a reason. That his baptism isn't perhaps so much about repentance for his past behavior as it is a claim of his core identity, and that he could then carry that core identity as God's beloved into the wilderness days ahead and into the ministry for which he has been called. And so this baptism account from Matthew has broadened John's baptism. Yes, there's a baptism of washing away sins and repentance, but it's expanded it, that baptism is also a mark of new life in Christ and a mark of identity. It's an answer to that question, who are you? And so I invite you this morning to consider that baptism is more than just washing away the dirty stuff, but really is an answer to the question, who are you? And the answer is, you are God's beloved. For I think we, like Jesus, live in a wilderness of temptations. And the focus that the push and pull of our identities is pulled to be placed in so many other places besides in God. You hear phrases, you are what you eat, or you're only as good as your last win. And every form that you fill out that asks you, who are you, asks for your name, your address, your social security number, your citizenship. And so we start to think that that is who we are. Henry Nouwen, in his book, The Life of the Beloved, calls out for unmasking the world's messages that tell us lies about who you are. That our culture, perhaps our families, or even our own internal convictions, convince us and persuade us that you're only worthy and lovable if you are beautiful, if you're thinner, if you're richer or more successful. You're only worthy and lovable if you're a better parent or a better child. You're only worthy and lovable if you're healthier and stronger and physically whole, or if you're a smarter student. But those aren't how God sees you or how God has created you. You are God's beloved. You are worthy. You belong. And that's what we're reminded of in the waters of baptism, that God has claimed you and loved you, and your identity is in being God's beloved. In the Presbyterian Church, we practice infant baptism, and that's in part because we do hold this ritual to be a part of identity. We don't look at this child and say, you're so sinful and you need to be, you know, washed. That is a part of it. But greater than that, it's saying, before you can even speak God's name, God knows this child's name and loves this child and welcomes this child for who they are. Baptism is powerful because it's a ritual, and rituals are a way that we are reminded of greater spiritual truths, those invisible and internal identities. And so this morning, I'm inviting us to a time of baptism renewal. If you choose, you may come forward. And I'll pour some water in this bowl, and I'll ask you, what is your name? Please tell me your name, even if you know that I know it already. I'll put some water on your head and say your name. Wendy Fukie Komori Stager, you are God's beloved. So let me be clear that this is not baptism. It's a renewal, but it is not baptism. You're not being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And it's not re-baptism. We don't believe in that. And it's okay to come, even if you have not been baptized officially before. Because this is really a reminder of a truth that is already out there. That God has loved you from the beginning. It's an invitation to come and connect with your belovedness at the beginning of this new year.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church.
So we're going to sing?
Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California. Or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.